Well, good morning. Hey, Melissa, welcome. Hi, Melissa, welcome. I'm going to start off by praying for a prayer need that went out on the prayer text chain last night. And Shauna and her family are there right now, but Shauna's dad fell off a roof, and then I guess in the time of checking him out and everything, they found a tumor. So we're going to pray and intercede right now for that intervention of the Lord. Father, we come before your throne of grace right now, Lord, and we bring Brett before you, Lord. Father, we ask, God, that you would just touch him as only you can. Lord, we know that the doctors have a report. They have x-rays, they have MRIs, they have everything that communicates to them what's going on. But Lord, we know that you're greater, Lord, than all of that communication. So right now, Father, we just release healing to Brett, Lord, as we stand, Lord, with Shauna and her family. Lord, we believe, God, that you are the divine healer, Lord, and that you can heal those that even, Lord, don't even know you, God, and show them your goodness and your kindness and your love. So, Father, right now, we just release to Brett, Lord, a healing touch from heaven. We just engage right now with the healing power, Lord, that you accomplished on the cross when you bore those stripes and you were pierced. Right now, Lord, we stand in the gap for Brett. And Lord, we'd ask, Lord, that however, Lord, he knows you or doesn't know you, Lord, you would draw him to yourself, that he would receive, Lord, full salvation, which is the absolute greatest healing. And so we ask for traveling mercies and guard and watch over Shauna and her family as they travel. Let her speak, Lord, a word, God, of encouragement to her siblings and her family members, Lord, that you, God, are the one that they should look to. And we just thank you for this now in Jesus' mighty name. I'm going to read out of Psalm 18. This is David, and he's crying out, and he's saying, "But in my distress, I cried out to the Lord. Yes, I prayed to my God for help. He heard me from his sanctuary. My cry to him reached his ears. Then the earth quaked and trembled. The foundations of the mountains shook. They quaked because of his anger. Smoke poured from his nostrils. Fierce flames leaped from his mouth. Glowing coals blazed forth from him. He opened the heavens and came down. Dark storm clouds were beneath his feet. Mountain on a mighty angelic being, he flew, soaring on the wings of the wind. He shrouded himself in darkness." Can we hold off for the music for a moment? Thank you. "He shrouded himself in darkness, veiling his approach with dark rain clouds. Thick clouds shielded the brightness around him and rained down and burning coals. The Lord thundered from heaven. The voice of the Most High resounded amid the hail and burning coals. He shot his arrows and scattered his enemies. His lightning flashed and they were greatly confused. Then at your command, O Lord, at the blast of your breath, the bottom of the sea could be seen and the foundations of the earth were laid bare. He reached down from heaven and rescued me. He drew me out of deep waters. He rescued me from the powerful enemies, from those who hated me and were too strong for me." Now you listen to this and it sounds like, oh my goodness, all of heaven's breaking loose. Because, you know, fierce flames are coming out of his nostrils. Sounds like he's ready to destroy this individual or these individuals that are tormenting David. But I want to tell you, this is the kind of heart that Jesus had when he came to rescue us from the powers of darkness, from the powers of Satan. And he did rescue us. And he did draw us out of a deep place. And we are now seated with him in heavenly places. And we now have an opportunity to enter into his presence by worshiping him in spirit and in truth. So as this first song plays, sorry about that, David, and it's there's no words to it, it's just music, I would ask you to just stand and for a moment just let your heart connect with what the Lord wants to do in you today. Maybe what he wants to do in your neighbor's life around you today. And just let your spirit and your heart connect with what's going on. And then we'll get into worship that has words. So it won't be this way the whole service. As we seek you, Lord, we find you. As we draw close to you, Lord, you draw close to us. And Father, you're the one that puts in us, God, the desire to draw close. We don't even manufacture that desire, Lord. You are the one that draws us. So today, Lord, we ask that you put a greater hunger in us. Put a greater stirring in us, Lord, that wants to draw close to you. That wants to see your face. That wants to have our eyes open, Lord, to see you, Lord. Lord Jesus, we praise you and we exalt your name. We lift you high in this place, Lord. We declare that you are our Savior and you are our God. You are the one that drew us out of the depths, Lord, and you're the one that seated us in heavenly places. And Lord, I pray that that would activate in our lives in a greater measure today. Lord, even if we weren't expecting it, even if we weren't coming here, Lord, to see and look for that, God, I pray that there would be an impartation into every individual, Lord, that hears my voice, Lord, that they would experience a greater level of you in their lives. That we would move beyond the veil into your very presence. That we would experience your gaze. Remove the doubt. Remove everything that hinders us from doing that. Because we have full, free access. Help us to come boldly before your throne of grace. Not just when we have need, Lord, but when we just want to be with you. Praise the Lord. Get lost there for a moment. It's a good thing to get lost in his presence. Amen? Amen. Did you want to share something, bro? Come on up.
Last week, I think it was on Tuesday. Oops. What? My two?
I'll back up. Maybe.
Oh.
Hold it closer. There you go.
Oh, okay. Last week on Tuesday, a friend and neighbor that had moved away last year, I haven't seen him for over a year, he came to the house in the morning and we visited. And almost the first thing he asked me if I knew Richard, and I didn't know the man's last name. And I said, well, I know a Richard. And he said, was he down at Emerald Care? And I said, yes, he was. And he said, did you guys have an opportunity to lead him to the Lord? And I shared when Stephanie came to us and James and Al's Uncle Chuck, and we all went down and prayed for this man. He was on his last day. Anyway, he was out, and his friend was there, Don. So Uncle Chuck grabbed Don, and we used him as a proxy and prayed the sinner's prayer through him. And James bent over, and in his ear started whispering the 23rd Psalm, and all of a sudden his eyes opened, and he started paying attention. Okay. All this to say that The man that came to visit me has known him for many years, and I had invited him many times to come down to Emerald Care with me. And he is a Christian man, but he chose not to do that because he had prayed many times for Richard and shared with him, and he had refused him. So anyway, he was so excited that that had happened. And the only thing he read in the obituary about him passing away 2 weeks later on a Friday, it was, it was just a wonderful thing, and it shows the necessity of doing what we're called to do in a timely fashion. You know, it was like, wake up and smell the irises, because Richard and I talked, and the next week he was alert on the stick. We visited.
Oh, wow.
He was a longtime gardener, and that's what he loved to do. And I said, Richard, so do I. I said, what do you like? And he said, I like flowers. And I said, well, so do I. My favorite flower is the iris. And his eyes got big, and he looked at me and said, that was mine also. So it was, all in all, the Lord is so good. And I am such a pea poor vessel that I'm trying to learn differently. Thank you.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, that gives a great segue into today at 3 p.m. at Emerald Care. That's in Wapato. And if you need directions or need to know any information about it, you can see James and Stephanie. But that gives a great example of what happens when you do go and leave your comfort zone and go to somebody else's who they're not comfortable right now. They're in usually wheelchairs. Either they've had injuries or they've become full shut-ins because they're just kind of waiting now for either their life to end or for somebody to come and rescue them, right?
Actually, our service started at 3 today, but we're going to have a 2 o'clock eating.
2 o'clock eating? So be there at 2 o'clock. Okay. Excellent. Okay.
Wow. Ken's told me that story a few times, and I've heard him tell a couple of people. But there's more to what the Lord does. And you're right, Pastor. We have to be open, and sometimes we have to move into areas where we're not comfortable. I don't remember when it was, but it was a week and a half ago, I suppose, and a few of us, wound up going to a camp meeting. Now, I've never been to a camp meeting, so I was pretty excited. I thought, wow, this is going to be very good. I knew it was going to be good. And I had great expectation that it was going to be good. And I had my list of things that I knew the Lord was going to touch me and heal me and heal Ken. And the woman that spoke is from Albuquerque. And she has spent her life being an evangelist, but the Lord has moved her into a pastoral position. And she would say things like, someone would call and ask me to go to the hospital and pray with their loved one. Someone would call and want me to go see the so-and-so or do whatever. Someone was dying at home. Someone lost their car keys, whatever. Always that they wanted prayer. And every time she'd say, Lord, how am I going to do this? I'm an evangelist. How am I going to do this? And he would say, I'll be with you. I've gone ahead of you. I'm already there. I've taken care of this. And just her faith and her walk with the Lord, how deep it was and how she just relied on him every step, even with the passing of her husband. And then there was a time for prayer. And I was drawn to this man. At the time, I didn't know anything about him other than I saw feathers on his shirt, so I knew he was indigenous. And he was weeping. He was crying so hard. He was just so full of unworthiness and so much brokenness. It just went on and on and on. And being respectful of who he was and his culture, I knew not to touch him for more than one reason. He was a man. And so Stephanie called Ken over. And this is when the Lord worked. This is how faithful our Lord is. Ken walked behind him and put his hand on his shoulder. And the man just bawled like a baby. He just kept crying and crying and crying. And I took Ken's hand and put it on the man's heart so I could pray for his brokenness. And he just cried and cried and cried. And then Stephanie went and got his wife so she could touch him and send love into his broken spirit. And he could not let go of his brokenness. He could not let go of the rejection and his unworthiness. And that's how we are. We hang on to it and hang on to it and hang on to it. But the Lord's day was for that man. That man met the Lord in a different way. Because James was at the other end of the altar or whatever it was, and James started speaking with authority. I mean, James spoke with authority with the man he was praying with. And the Lord God, in his mercy, and in his plan, his Jeremiah 29, that man's spirit leapt. Just leapt. And James, you don't know that because you don't need to know that. It was all the Lord and all the Holy Spirit. That man was so touched and so moved. And I am here to tell you that that's the way the Lord works. So if you're carrying a bunch of trash and garbage and emptiness and unholiness or whatever you want to call it, and you don't know that the Lord loves you, if you don't believe the words in that song as we've sang this morning, then you better get it right. Because our Lord died on the cross, was buried and rose so that we could have freedom and that we would know we're loved. We are loved by a powerful God. Yeah. And we are here to be healed. We're here to be touched. And we're here to work in his kingdom. We have a mission, and we're all in the mission field every day, every moment of every day, because we all have a story of someone that has prayed us through and continually prays us through and continually holds us up. So let this day be the refreshing. And I thought the Lord was so good to remind me of all those things because of our special blessing. But Lord, thank you. Thank you that as Ken wrapped his arms around him and held him from the back, because Ken would never think he's worthy enough to stand in front of someone, that he could touch that man's spirit, that he could be praying like a father prays for a son. So watch and listen, just like that pastor, every time a call came, every time someone asked her to do something out of her element, she turned to the Lord, and the Lord gave her strength. Thank you, Lord, that you give us all that strength if we turn to you, if we listen to you, if we hear that still voice. Your name be praised, Lord. Your name be praised.
Amen. Well, Gay, come on up and... Oh, yes, I do want to announce next Sunday, depending upon how hot it is, if it's too hot, we'll just end up having a potluck downstairs for our picnic time so that we don't get out into a place and start baking and sweating and making it so that it's not an enjoyable experience. So we'll let you know maybe a couple days ahead of time because we'll see what the weather's going to be like.
Good morning. So I'm going to ask everybody that is 11 and under to come here real quick. Come on. just kind of park it down on the carpet right here. Pull up a piece of carpet and sit down. That's great. Okay, so this is what I want to tell you guys. When I was probably 11 or maybe 12 at the oldest, I was sitting in church, and I remember that the pastor announced that a missionary was going to be talking at church. And I don't know how I knew this one fact that I thought was true, that missionaries are kind of boring. But that's what I thought. I don't know where I got that from. But I just thought, oh no, a missionary, we're going to hear about, you know, China or something. And it just was like, oh no, it's going to be a boring day. But then this guy got up, and he was a young guy, and he started sharing about what he did for the Lord. And he was a missionary, but he was a missionary to the inner city of Chicago in the United States. I'm thinking, wow, I had it wrong on every level, you know? So today we're going to stay upstairs because we have a missionary that's going to be speaking today. Katie, can you please stand for a moment? Now, she's a young lady, and she's going to be speaking to us. And this is what I want to tell you. Thank you, Katie. I want to tell you is that my heart was completely captured by God that day. And the reason that it was because what he was saying, it brought life to my inside person, to my spirit inside. And I'm like, wow, I could do something like that. And I ended up going to a Bible college, and I ended up going to an inner city and ministering. Now, I'm not a missionary, but God allowed me that opportunity. Can you put the slide up there for me? Do you guys see that right there? So that's the whole United States, and where it's pointing up in the corner is where you're sitting. And all the way down to the very bottom is where Katie went. That's Haiti. That's 3,339 miles as the crow flies. Now, whether or not, I think Katie probably went more because I think there were layovers and all that kind of stuff in different parts. But that's the shortest amount of time that Katie went, shortest amount of distance that she went was 3,339 miles. Has anybody ever been that far? No, I have, but that's a whole nother story. But so Katie went all that way just to minister to big adults, younger adults, but little kids just like you guys. And so what Katie is going to say is real important, because she may be speaking something that the Lord is going to ignite in you. You know what ignite means? Click and it's lit. God can light something within you guys, within all of us, that will bring a new calling to our hearts. So I want to pray, Katie, for you. And I want to pray for all of us that our ears would be open to hear, because this is a special time. Our girl went that far to minister to people in need. And that's really big. That's really big. So, Father, we just lift Katie to you. We just pray, God, that your words would be in her. Father, that she, by her obedience, would open her mouth and you would speak, God. Father, I pray for every ear that's open and those that aren't open, that you would open them, but that we would be attuned to hearing your voice and knowing what you're saying. And Father, that somewhere in this room, I feel, is a heart that someday is going to travel like that, like Katie did, and minister, and that you would right now begin to touch them and let them know how special they are and that your hand is on their life, God. Father, we thank you for Katie's obedience. We pray for her. Pray that she wouldn't be nervous, but this is just family, and she would just speak the words as you give them. And Father, I pray for each one of these kids sitting here that you would bless their hearts and bless their lives and help them to see that maybe someday they could do that too. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, you guys, you can go back and sit with your mom and dad. Katie, you want to come? Let's give it up for Katie. Whoop, whoop, whoop. I'm so proud of you. Pastor Mike's going to run the slideshow for you.
Okay. Did you want to start the slideshow? Yeah. Yeah, we'll do that first. There's a lot of pictures. Hi, Timmy. I'm like crying looking at those pictures. I miss those kids already so much. Okay, so we had a really long journey, as you can see. So our team actually split up at the airport. Half of us flew to LAX, and then half of us flew to San Francisco. And then we all met in Miami. And then the Miami flight was like all night. So it was like you slept on the plane kind of, but then you kind of didn't. So, and then in the morning we woke up and we're in Miami. Yeah. So in the morning we woke up, we're in Miami, and then we had another 2-hour flight to Port-au-Prince, which is the main city in, Haiti. And then we had a 4-hour drive. So it was like a really long, like, it felt like a day, but it was 2 days because you didn't sleep, but you did sleep. I don't know. It was crazy, but we're all tired, but we just kept telling ourselves, like, when we get home, we could sleep all we want. Like, it doesn't even matter. Like, when we get home, we could sleep for however long. And so the first couple pictures were from, like, the city life, so that's why, like, they had a lot of cars and stuff, and they had, like, a lot of people along the side of the road just trying to sell you stuff, and, like, we drove through markets and stuff, and they're, like, coming up to our windows with, like, things to buy. And so, yeah, but once we got there after, like, the 4 hours in the car, which wasn't that bad, we had 3 Land Cruisers. And then so they had, like, the front seat, the middle seat, and then in the back seat, like, on that second slide, it had the picture, like, it just had benches. So there's, like, 3 could fit in the back of there. So that was, it was comfortable, and it had AC, so... yeah, that was nice before we had to get there. So right when we got to the compound and stuff, like right when we got out of the cars, like members of the church were already waiting for us, like outside where we were staying, and they sang us a song, and it was really sweet. And like there's already like a ton of kids like waiting like to just play with you. And like so we had to get our stuff ready, and we took it upstairs to where we were, and then we just had like free time until dinner. And so like that first day I was there, I hung out with like two little kids that like kind of held on to me, and we were playing, and I didn't really know what to play with them. Like, do you play tag or hide and seek? I don't know. And so they brought me to this little area. It was just like some concrete and there was some rocks, and they sat down there. So I sat down there with them, and they started playing like jacks, but with rocks. And so that's what I did the first day. They're so cute. And like, even that first day, just like being there, like even when I was there, I was like, wow, is this even real yet? Like, but right when you got off, like with them singing, the members of the church singing to you, you already felt like God was there. And like, it was really like evident and stuff. And so the food was good. I know I was like worried about the food, but I had like goat like every night. It was good. And so, but yeah, the ladies who prepared our food did a really good job. And so every day, the next day we woke up, we lights out at 10, the generator goes out, and it's really hot at night because there's no fans and there's no nothing, but it was fine. We had like our little mini fans that were battery operated, but like I would turn mine on and then I'd wake up in the middle of the night and it'd be like off the bed. So there wasn't a point in having it. And so we'd have to wake, breakfast was at 7. And so I woke up like at 6 because I took a shower and stuff, and then we got ready, and then we could go on like the rooftop of where we were at, and it was really nice up there. It's like cool, like it's always like, it was always really fresh. And so in the mornings we'd go up there, and all of us would meet, and we'd have coffee in the morning. It was really good coffee, and then we'd come down for breakfast at 7, and then we'd eat and stuff, and then afterwards we'd have a team meeting about VBS and like what the craft is, our craft groups, who's doing what. And so we'd meet about that, and then we'd have like half an hour to just get ready for VBS. And then we'd walk down there around like 8:45 because it started at 9. And then we'd sing songs. Like, we could be around with the kids and like sit with them, or like they had benches where we could sit too, but most of us just like already just sat with the kids like on the first day because they're so cute. And we sang like songs in their language, but we also sang like a couple songs in English that they had learned like the previous years. And so it was really cute because, like, even, like, when we had our free time and we're hanging out with the kids, like, they would still sing those songs in English to us because, like, that's what we knew. And so it was really sweet. And so we'd do two songs, and then we'd do they learn a verse. Every day they learn a new verse in their language. And then, like, they'd go over it and go over it until they learned it. And then they would go up there, whoever had memorized it, and then they'd get a little token. And then at the end of the week, we had a market kind of thing that they could buy things with the tokens. And so we did that, and then they had, we did like a story every day. Like, we did Cain and Abel, we did the prodigal son, and we did some other stories. And then also we asked questions, and then if they answered them, they got a token. And then they really liked Minute to Win It. Like, they loved it. Like, they would start shouting, Minute to Win It! Minute to Win It! Like, when we're just, whoever wants to see, I have the video on my phone of them chanting Minute to Win It around. It's so cute. But there's like three words, so they know those. Like, they learned that really fast. So it was really cute. And then some days we did a puppet show, and they liked that. And then we did craft time. And so every day we did a different craft, and they would get like two markers or choose two crayons, and then they'd have to keep trading them out. So that time got really crazy because there's only so many of us and all of them want to trade their colors, but it was okay. And one day we had made like little tambourines, kind of like we put two paper plates and then some beans in them, and we're like, yeah, and the kids were like going crazy. They like loved it, and they're like singing and dancing. And then it was so sad because then I like looked over, and like some kids had like taken out their beans from in the middle of them, and they started eating them. And then they started like asking other people or like showing them that there was like food inside, and it was really sad. It like made me want to cry. And then later on that night, we went on a home visit, and that lady had like five or six kids, and she had like all their beans were like in one bag that they had like put them in, and they'd like stacked up all their plates. Like, I don't know, that was sad because like that's just something I didn't even think about. Like, it was just like a toy for them. But yeah, and so we'd do VBS until 12, and then we'd have lunch. And then we get like an hour of free time, or in that time we usually just like prepared for what we're going to do in the afternoon with them. So like in the afternoons we like paint nails, or like we made friendship bracelets, or we made like those rubber band bracelets that are really easy to make, and they loved it. For the boys, we had like soccer. We brought like a bunch of soccer balls and bubbles and jump ropes. The girls love jump ropes. They're like, jump rope? Jump rope? I'm like, oh, you want a jump rope? They're like, yeah. Okay, so we'd bring out a jump rope, and then whoever asked for it, usually they'd get to keep it when we're done playing with it because we brought a lot of them. And then we'd go on a home visit, and it was really sad because the first night we had stayed there, so the second day we're like there or whatever, like we went to this house and it had actually burned down that night, that first night that we had got there. And so like all, like everything was gone because like he had to go to the well and like grab his own water. Like, I don't know, I didn't really think of things like that. Like, you can't just like call the fire department to like go put it out or like call someone to help you. It's just like you're on your own with your wife and your couple kids. And so he thought he had got all the fire out on one part of the building, but he ended up like he missed some of it. And so a whole nother part of the house burned down. That was mostly just all of it. And like even their water buckets were like just burnt and stuff. And so it was like really sad. And so we were like talking about it, and we're like, we should do something for them. Like, they have nothing, and you know, that's their house is like all they had. So we ended up like raising $150 for them. And then that's when we bought that goat and that pig for them. And they're so happy. Yeah, the pig peed on me. It was really gross. Cause we're like walking down, we're like gonna go take the pig to their house. And like a bunch of kids are surrounding me cause they just like want to be with you all the time. And so I'm like, okay, I'm walking down, and they all stopped. And so I was like talking to them, and then I just felt something warm, and it was really gross. It was all the kids were laughing at me. I'm like, ew. And I couldn't go up. Well, I could go up and like rinse off, but I wanted to see them get it delivered. So yeah, I had to walk with pig feet all over me. And so, but it was okay. It was just warm. And so, yeah. And so every day we do a home visit, and after like the second home visit, I couldn't go into their houses anymore because it broke my heart. Like seeing, like, how little they actually have. I mean, one house, it had just, like, a little area where they can, like, they, like, kept their pots and stuff. And then it had, like, one room with just, like, a big mattress where I bet they all, like, sleep on, you know? And that was it. There wasn't, like, a living room or, like, you know, a kitchen even. So I stopped going into houses because it just broke my heart. And so, but the ones that I did see were really small and really sad. And on one of the houses that we went to, they had built their kitchen kind of like outdoors, and it was like you could see in through it through the wood and stuff. But they had like their open fire and their pots and stuff. But yeah, and so every house we went to, like their fences are actually just cactus. And so it's just like you have to be careful where you walk, or else you'll like run into them and like get hurt. But yeah, and then we'd have dinner, and then after dinner we'd have another team meeting where we just like worshiped. We sang a couple songs, and then we'd just like go over our day and like how it went and like high points and like if anyone needed prayer for that day and stuff. And so yeah, that was really good. And like playing with the kids is so much fun. Like. If you're just walking around or something, they want to hold your hand. And, like, if you have something in your hand, like, I had my water bottle with me, like, all the time. They would take your water bottle. I'm like, oh, no, it's okay. Like, it's mine. But they take it and they hold it so they can hold your hand and just so they could, like, walk with you and stuff. And the kids just really, like, touched me because they're so cute. And they all they wanted was just, like, for someone to show them that affection and that love. They wanted to be carried all the time. They're always like, photo, photo, like, take my photo. And so I'm like, okay. And all of them were just so nice. And so on Wednesday night, we had, like, a youth service. And so Dr. Mike, he was the guy who went with us, and he's like, him and his wife, Mary Lee, are like the leaders of it. And so Mike was like, yeah, they're going to translate it for you guys. So we're going to go to the youth service on Wednesday. And he's like, but on Friday, they're not translating it, but it's still open. And so we're like, okay. So on Wednesday we went, and I wasn't really like expecting a lot because I'm like, I don't know. I still don't know their language, which honestly, that wasn't a big deal. Like language was not an issue during this trip. Like, they knew a little bit, I knew a little bit of their language, but like, I felt like that wasn't even a problem the whole time. Like, we spoke with our hands and like different motions, and like, God really worked through us through that because language wasn't a barrier at all. Like, it was amazing. Like, some of the kids really like to like write to you because they know English better written, you know? And so that was fine. But anyways, so I was like, yeah, we'll go to the youth service because, like, I think the second night, like, they just brought in, like, a ton of youth to the compound and stuff. And so I went, well, we all went, and, like, I just cried the whole time. Like, God is so real there. And, like, all of them just, like, they wear their best clothes to come to church. And, like, these ladies, they were worshiping over here in the corner, and they were, like, worshiping with all they had. And, like, I was just crying watching them and watching everyone. And they were asking, like, who came from this city, this city, this city. And they actually came from Doobie-Doo, those ladies. I saw them raise their hands. And that was, like, a 45-minute walk. And it was dark. It was a youth night service, so it was really dark out. And, like, they don't have flashlights or anything. Like, I'm just thinking all this. Like, they have, like, no flashlights. They don't, they, like, memorize their way. Their shoes are, like flip-flops that have been worn down, you know. And it's, like, but yet they still come. And they came to, like, give their all to God. And it was, like, so amazing. And, like, a lot of the kids were just, like, just worshiping with all they had. And it's, like, wow. Like, sometimes I'm like, Mom, do I really have to go to church, you know? But, like, for them, it's, like, the highlight of their week. And, like, everything, oh, so amazing. And so they wanted a couple of us to, like, share our testimonies of, like, what it's like to be there. And so I had said that I would, like, before we had left. And then I was, like, kind of debating because I'm, like, I've been crying the whole time. Like, I don't really want to. And so I said no. And then, like, I just felt like, no, that was wrong. So I told Mrs. Boss that I would again. And I just shared about how, like, how much of a family we already are. Like, they did my hair. Like, they're like, oh, we'll do your hair. Like, hair. And I'm like, okay. And so they braided it all. It took, like, an hour. And, like, they were, like, They did an amazing job, but like I was getting hot and like some kids came up to me and like started fanning me and I was like, oh, it's okay. Or like I had some like a piece that they hadn't done yet and like someone came up to me and started holding it for me, like just cause, and like they're just so nice and welcoming and stuff. And so I just shared about how like how nice they were and how like this really, like we really are all family here. And like it was so amazing. And on that same night, they had prayer requests and stuff. And so whoever, if a lady had a prayer request, then three of us from the team would go up and pray with her. And then if a guy did, then three of the guys would. And so what I noticed with, like, all the prayer requests is that they're praying for their spiritual battle because it's, like, really bad over there. So if you guys don't know, a long time ago, like 200 and some years ago, Haiti was at war with the French. And so in order for Haiti to win the French, they made a deal with the devil that they would worship him for 200 years if they could win the French. And so the devil did that. So they won victory over the French, but they had to practice voodoo for 200 years. And so that curse was lifted in 2004. So it wasn't super, it was still really bad, but, and so, yeah, so I didn't know that until like, because the next night we had prayed for all those people, you know, for their spiritual battles. And a lot of them were like praying for like their path with God and their journey with God, like that it stays pure and stuff like that. And so we prayed for them. And the next day at our breakfast meeting, one of the team members, Seth, he had went up to Dr. Mike because he was saying that he felt like a heaviness on him after he prayed for one guy who was saying that he needed like a lot of prayer in the spirit and stuff because he was going, like every day's a battle for him. And so we had to like keep in mind that like if we did feel like this heaviness and stuff, that we needed prayer right away and stuff, because it actually is really real there and that it's not like something to play around with. And so on one of the days we had actually went to another town because they wanted us to experience some other parts of Haiti. So we took like a half an hour, 25, 30 minute drive to this other town. I forgot what it was called, but we got to go there. And so when they started practicing voodoo, the Catholic Church actually adopted voodoo and then just called it Catholic. That way they could still like go into their churches and worship and stuff. And so we had went to this other town and we were right in front of their Catholic church. And it was like, we're like, oh, okay. And I'll probably refer to Wilson a lot. Wilson is my friend Anika. She's actually from Haiti and she goes to school with us. And her parents are the pastors there in Haiti. And then her uncle Wilson is, he's there too when we were there. And he knows the language and he's native there. And so he answered all my questions and I was always on Wilson. I had a picture with him on that day. We're at the resort. So that was Wilson. And so, we're like, we saw this man and he was like really weird and he was like going like that to us and we're like, okay. And he was going like this. Like some people say that that means like he'll make you sick. And so we were like, Wilson, like there's this really weird guy. And so Wilson's like, okay, we have to leave early. So we got into our cars and we left early. And this man was really weird. Like I think he liked my friend Kennedy because he kept like looking at her and like was getting close to her and stuff. And so we had taken two cars that day. So I got into the car that I was in and he was like following those girls that were in the other car and he was like getting really close. And so we're like, that's really weird. He watched us get into our cars and leave. And so we drove like 2 minutes down the road and he was right there. Like he was there. And it was like so scary. I was like, oh my gosh. Like, and so I don't know, but that was like really real there. Like just seeing how real like the devil was there. Cause that was like really scary. And like I had seen a bottle on the side of the road and it had like paper and it was like written on both sides. And I was like, what is that, Wilson? He's like, oh, it's like a form of voodoo. And I was like, so it's really real here. And he's like, yeah, it's really bad. But the witch doctor in the town that we were in had actually died a couple years ago, but her daughter converted to Christianity. And so there wasn't a witch doctor where we were at, but still, it was still really real there. And like everyone, so I guess like how the voodoo thing works, like you can like go to the witch doctor and like give them names of your family. And then whoever you name off, then the devil will go and attack them. And then it's also like if you're best friends with somebody, they can give your name too. And so I was talking to Wilson about that because I was like, well, what do you mean about the voodoo? And so he had told me that. And he's like, have you ever seen anyone be possessed? And I was like, no. And he's like, you're lucky because most of the kids here have. And I was like, really? And he's like, yeah. And I was like, you know, in America, they make movies about that. And he was like, yeah, that's really bad. He's like, I used to watch them until, like, I experienced it. And I was like, yeah. And I was like, aren't you scared? Like, you live here. Like, it's so real. And he's like, Katie, every day, you know, there's a battle between, you know, the spirits and stuff. But as long as I have Jesus, I've won every single one of them. And I was like, yeah. And he's like, I don't have to worry. He's like, Jesus, I'm with Jesus, and he's in me, and I don't have to worry about stuff like that. He's like, I'll always win. And I was like, yeah, that was more comforting, because I was like, okay, yeah, that's true. Like, I have Jesus too. And so, yeah. And so the next day we did a devotion on the armor of the spirit and stuff here. Yeah. And so, but yeah, that was probably really real too. And so on that Friday night, yeah, the other youth service that we were like invited to, but didn't go to, but it wasn't going to be translated. All of us ended up going because we're like, yeah, church was so good last time. Like, even if it's not translated, that's okay. They ended up translating it for us because all of us went. And so that was really nice. And it was just like a quick word and stuff, and it was really fun. And like afterwards, it gets like so crazy. Like, it was so fun. Like, they like had their like a piano and like a drum set with like three drums, and then they had like a, what are those called? The xylophone thing? No, not a xylophone. Accordion, yeah, they had an accordion, and, like, three guys singing, and, like, it was so fun, like, everyone just got in a circle, and we're all dancing and singing, and it was really fun, like, everyone just went crazy for Jesus, and it was amazing. And what I also noticed, like, a lot of the youth got to speak up on the Friday night service, and a lot of them were talking about how thankful they were for us being there, and that really got to me too, because like some of the youth didn't go out during the afternoon times to play with us or like to hang out with us. Like, they just knew we were there, and like that, like they didn't even get to meet some of us and like anything, yet we're still making such a difference just by being there, like for the little kids and stuff. And that, I was like, wow, like I don't even know this girl who was talking. Like, I've seen her around, but I haven't even like introduced myself to her. Like, I haven't seen her during like the times when I'm out here, but she's like so, so thankful for us being there. And that was like amazing, because it's like, I don't know, like I guess I didn't see how much of an impact I was actually making. Like, just being there was like really impactful. And for there was this one little girl that I want to talk about. Her name's Natalie. And she's so cute. She's the cutest little girl. She was wearing a bandana in the picture. I don't know if you remember, but she was so cute. So, like, on the third or fourth day of Bible school, she was, like, sitting there, and we started worshiping, and I was, like, walking around, like, singing and stuff, trying to sing in their language. I was probably singing not the words, but it's okay. And so I saw her, and she stayed sitting down during the worship time. And so I like looked at her, and she was crying. And so I just picked her up and I held her, and she just like started bawling like in my arms. And I was like, oh my gosh, like I was like looking at my little translation card, and I was like trying to say, how are you and stuff, but she like wouldn't look up to me. And so like I just prayed over peace for her and stuff, and like right when I was done, she just like looked up at me and gave me like the biggest smile, and she had like snot everywhere and tears, and I had a little cooling rag, and so I just wiped her down, and she like clung on to me the whole time. And that day we had actually done a glitter craft, and they love glitter. Like, they were throwing it at each other, like they were putting it in their hair, all over their face. All week they had glitter, all week. Like, we couldn't get rid of it. But so we had done that little glitter craft, and she let me have it. Like, I was holding on to it, like she gave it to me, so I was like, oh, I'll just hold on to it for her, like just in case, like we're running around and stuff. And I was trying to give it to her before I left. She's like, no, like it's for you and stuff. And so it was so sweet, because like, just that little thing made like a really big impact on her life too. And it made an impact on mine. Like, that was like the sweetest thing. Cause it was like, it was the glitter craft. That's a big deal. And so it was really cute. And all the little kids there, I love them so much. I miss them. They're so cute. Like, this little girl, she was really crazy, and she would just like chant my name, Kati, Kati, Kati. And like three or four other kids would like come around her and just start chanting my name, and like they'd want to sing with me, and they want to be with me, and they want like their pictures taken with me, and like it was so cute, like all those little kids. And we also did, I said before that we were going to be doing a dental clinic, but we ended up not being like a big part of the dental clinic because Dr. Mike had actually gave the like the dentist clinic to a lady who worked there. She came back. She was part of the village, and then she went to go study dentistry and then came back. So Mike gave it to her, and so she had been running it for a long time now. So there wasn't like a lot of people who needed dental work because now she does it all year round. And so the only thing we got to do with that was, we got to do like fluoride their teeth, brush their teeth and fluoride them. And some of the kids had really like decayed teeth and really rotten teeth, but it's because they can't brush them and stuff. So what I learned a lot was like how to truly love unconditionally for them. Like that didn't even disgust me, or like a little kid would like be like coughing on me or something, and I'm like, oh, it's fine. Like nothing bothered me. Like I really learned how to love these people, like all the people in the village, and they're all so nice. Like they see you and they're like, hi, you know, like bonsoir. I'm like, hi. And they're just everyone. Like I just love that whole entire little village. Like Terre Blanche has that little special place in my heart. I hope I get to go back next year. I'm praying to get to go back next year. And like the day we had the store on that Friday, there was like a line of kids, and we could only take like 5 at a time into the store because we didn't want like people trying to steal or anything like that. And all the kids were so happy to get new shoes. Like, we had a lot of shoes that we had brought, and like all of them were like so happy. Like this little girl, I was with her, and she wanted these shoes, and I was like, no, petite, because they were too small for her, because we were told, like, make sure they fit her, make sure they fit that person, because you want to make sure that they'll use them and stuff. And I was like, no, petite, like, they're too small. And she's like, no, like, she wanted those shoes. And so Mary Lee was like, just let her have them, they're hers, like, you told her they're too small. So I did. And then, like, later on in the afternoon, she wasn't wearing the shoes. She had given them to her little brother to wear. And so, like, they have such a heart for each other and for us. And, like, that was, like, the sweetest thing. I was like, oh, my gosh. Like, I don't know. Just, like, little things like that. Like, really, like, they have such love for one another and for, like, their families and stuff. Like, they take care of each other. Like, the older siblings, like, they'll, like, take care of their younger siblings. Like, if they're getting into trouble or something, like, no, come over here. And, like, they care for one another like we should, and like they love each other unconditionally like that. And like those conditions, like they don't have anything yet, they have everything with God. Like they're so happy, you know. And I don't know, like they're just so happy, and it's like, dude, I can't explain how happy they were. Like they loved us being there, and they loved their family there, and they loved their siblings, and it was amazing. And that youth service that I had cried all night on Wednesday, I had called my mom, and I was like, Mom, I just wish you could be here. Like, it's so amazing. Like, I want to explain to you how this feels, but I can't, like, there's no words for it. Like, and I was like, I wish you were here to experience this with me. And I just wish you guys were all there to experience it, because the love of God is so amazing there, and it's so real, and it'll really just touch you in a different way that you don't even know. And it was amazing. My trip was amazing. And leaving there was really hard because on that Sunday morning, we had went to church, and then we left like right after church. And so I was kind of happy I didn't get to see all the kids before I left. But then again, I was really sad because I know saying goodbye to them would have been so hard. Like, I would have just been like, just leave me here, it's okay. Like, I'm fine, I'll live, they'll take care of me. But, thank you. But, yeah, leaving there was really hard. But it was kind of nice that we did get a on the last day we stayed at a resort to kind of just unwind and just relax and stuff. But yeah, I miss it there, and it was truly amazing. God's working in those people, and he worked through us, and I was expecting, like, oh, yeah, we're touching them so much, but they touched me in a whole different way. That was, yeah, I can't explain it, but it was amazing. I'm going to try and print off some pictures and stuff that you guys can look at and stuff, because I have a lot more than that. I just had to make that really fast last night. So, yeah, thank you guys for supporting me and for always being here for me. I know I've been going to this church since I was little, and a lot of you guys have helped me through this with your prayers and financially, and I really appreciate you guys because you guys made this happen for me, and I'm so thankful for that. And hopefully next year I get to go and see all those kids again, because, oh, they have my heart. They're so cute.
Okay, so I just feel like I went with her in a way. And just knowing that we actually, as a church, gave money for her to go, it becomes part of us. I mean, it's not just Katie. We got to go with her almost, like, you know what I'm saying? And so, okay, so Kate, how many little children did you guys minister to, about, approximately?
Like 200 or 300, I don't know.
200 or 300, just in that little area. That's so amazing. Wasn't that amazing? So what was the weather like? I know it was hot, but how hot?
It was like 96 to 100s all the time. And it was really funny because one night after our dinner meeting, we went upstairs to the roof, and it's always really breezy up there. And I saw it had got down to 86, and I was freezing. I was like, someone bring me a blanket. I am so cold.
Okay, so I have to ask you, do you love your brothers more now?
No, I'm just kidding. Yes, I love them. Yes, I love my little brothers. Aww. They're so cute. I'm like telling Adam, like, be thankful the people in Haiti don't have that much stuff. Or Adam, no, like, people in Haiti. And he's like yesterday he was throwing away his whole corn. And I was like, Adam, people in Haiti want that, would want that. And then he's like, and why don't you go over there and give it to them? I'm like, okay. But of course I love them. They're so sweet.
Well, Katie, thank you so much for sharing with us. We've been praying for you the whole time that you were gone. And I truly believe that this has changed her forever. It really has. And if she gets to go back next year, it will change her again. And so just know that we're praying for you. I'm so happy you got to go, sweetie. I am. And if you guys have any questions, does anybody have any questions they want to ask real quick?
Yeah, I was going to ask that, but I forgot.
No. Well, if it comes up, just come over and grab her and ask her, okay? Thank you, sweetheart. Love you. Let's give Katie one more hand.
Okay, well, that is it. Keep in mind, again, at 2 p.m. at Emerald Care, there will be food, and then 3 o'clock will be the service. So if you guys can make it, it's amazing to see the individuals be touched when you go there. It's an experience that you have to experience. So Father, we just thank you for this day. Thank you, Lord, for the testimony, Lord, that Katie encouraged us with, God, that we can step out of our comfort zones, Lord, just as Barb said, and we can be equipped and empowered by you, Lord, to touch others' lives. So we just release, Lord, everyone into the work of the kingdom in Jesus' name. Amen.